Now we have more data about what could we have done in this situation. So now we have the MAIA data, and that looked at transplant-ineligible patients and randomized them to get daratumumab, lenalidomide, and dexamethasone versus lenalidomide and dexamethasone. And the upshot is patients did great. The median PFS in the triplet arm hasn't even been reached. The curves separated out pretty easily and quickly, and we are going to get more information. Almost all subgroups benefited, except the high-risk subgroup seems to have less benefit, but that may be a numbers issue. One thing that's different about this study, it's not just a triplet versus doublet. It's the maintenance aspect, which also incorporates the daratumumab with lenalidomide, not just lenalidomide alone. So the patients in the experimental arm got DRD and then DR maintenance versus the RD and then R maintenance. I think, yeah, I made a joke about this on Twitter. If I had a dime for every time the triplet versus doublet was better, you know, the triplets are always better than the doublet. So I think that's an important thing to take away. We should really be using triplets if we can. But I think something really important here is that this therapy was actually pretty well tolerated. And patients stayed on study. You know, they stayed on and they didn't have a significantly worse adverse event profile, although there are, you know, infusion reactions, et cetera, as you would expect. What does this mean? It means that, one, we have another option for triplet therapy for quote-unquote transplant-ineligible patients, and two, that patients are willing to take this for a long time. Maybe the high-risk patients aren't the best for this therapy. We don't know that yet, but it is another tool in our box. And I think one thing that we have to consider with these types of patients is, why are they transplant-ineligible? If your answer is because they have too many comorbidities, which may include dialysis or renal failure, this might not be the right option for them because they'll have to get lenalidomide and you'd have to underdose the lenalidomide versus the study dosing that was here. And maybe in that case, you would choose something like cyclophosphamide, bortezomib, and dexamethasone. But if all things are similar to the patient population, I think this adds another option for us as far as what we can offer these patients who want to get triple therapy, immunotherapy, who are fit, but don't necessarily want to proceed with the transplant.
Do you think there's any rationale to say, well, maybe we should save Dara for the relapse setting?
Yeah, there's a sort of camp of people who believe that, and we always joke in our practice, you know, if you had the best basketball player, would you save them on the bench or would you put them out in front? We've done remarkably well with upfront treatment for myeloma, and all the gains that we have made have been in that setting. Now, we've done also very well in the 1 to 3 priors, but once you get past the second and third progression, it's really hard to keep people in remission. And so some people say, okay, I'd like to save that. We don't know what the right answer is to sequence, and unfortunately, that study is probably not going to be done. So it really comes down to a style thing. I do tend to save daratumumab at least for the second, but that's because we don't have as many trials that show Dara in the upfront, although that is changing. Now we have several trials showing benefit of daratumumab in the upfront setting, and more trials are coming. So I think that that will be a question for all of us to philosophically go through. You know, should we use it now or use it later? What will also change that will be what we have for later. So if it turns out that CAR-T for early relapses results in a 5-year PFS, okay, fine, then I would be willing to use Dara up front and save CAR-T for later. So everything interplays with each other.